I'm the one that really begged Jason to sing it because I thought it went well with the lesson today, and I'm the worst singer in the singing class there Wednesday night. So thanks, Jason, for doing that and all those that sang along. It truly is an awesome song and something I hope, like Jason said, it's something that we live, and like the song said, we live our entire lives to hear those words from our Father. Well done. And thank you, Tucker, for reading Scripture this morning as well. There once was a little church that had decided to decorate the auditorium with a beautiful mirror. This mirror was going to be placed behind the pulpit. It was for their homecoming, so they wanted, the preacher thought it would be a great opportunity to have a lesson associated with reflecting God's excellence. The idea was that during worship, the light from the stained glass windows would reflect in the mirror and shine out to the congregation, a symbol of how we are to reflect God in our lives as we go out into the world to shine our light. Many times when you plan things, you may have great intentions, but the execution may be lacking. The execution here, however, didn't go quite as planned. Instead of seeing the beautiful symbol, all the people could focus on was themselves. Everyone became distracted, not by the glory of God, but by their hair, by their tie, or whether they looked awake enough to pretend they hadn't dozed off during the sermon. One woman whispered to her friend, "I didn't come here to see me, I came here to see Jesus." The preacher overheard her and couldn't help but laugh because that was exactly the point. Sometimes in life we're so busy looking at ourselves, we forget what or who we're supposed to be reflecting. Today, as we go through this lesson, we're going to talk about what it means to reflect Christ in our lives. Not just look good, but to shine His light. This is, we can call it maybe part two of Terry's sermon from last week, His People, His Purpose. There are three things I think every kid that grows up in the church is taught by their parents. And certainly as a parent, I think we're striving to teach our children these same three things. Number one is the golden rule. Number two is, don't judge other people. And number three is to treat everyone with respect. However, I think the older we get more concerned with deeper spiritual matters that maybe we forget the three rules that our parents taught us. The golden rule, to not judge other people, and to treat everyone with respect. Every Christian is called to live a life that proclaims the greatness of God, not just in what we say, but in how we treat others. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and Dawson read this last week at verse 9 and did an awesome job, and Terry took his sermon from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Something struck me as I was listening to Dawson read the Scripture, and I thought, this is what it's got to be. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession." Terry focused a lot last week on our identity and who we are as people. It's certainly hitting those few things that Peter mentions. Terry also touched on this, so I hope this parallels what Terry said, not just walks over what he said or repeats what he said. But in the very last half of verse 9 there, it says, "That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We have become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, not for our own benefit entirely, but so because of that, we can go proclaim His excellencies to everyone we come in contact with. Verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." If we are God's people, then our actions should proclaim His excellencies. And that begins with how we treat one another. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Just those same things, same qualities that Jeff just read to us from Colossians chapter 3. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Verse 10, so key. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And especially the Christians. Especially those brothers and sisters in Christ. Especially those who are in the household of faith. Reflecting God and how we treat others. A lot of times, like that story that I read to begin with, when we look in the mirror, we look to the guy on the left. We look in the mirror, and that's what we see reflected. We see ourselves. But actually, and you know, we use it every morning, the mirror, to figure out if our hair is in the right place, right? We figure out if our, you know, if we have anything in our teeth, if our face looks great, if our tie's on straight, if we buttoned up our collar, shirt tucked in, you name it. We look in the mirror. But truthfully, when we look in the mirror, we should see Jesus in our own lives, not ourselves. Reflecting God and how we treat others. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule it is an act of love. It's not passive. This is not, let me do good to people so they don't hurt me. It's not about avoiding harm, because that's a selfish approach. I'm going to treat people the right way so they don't hurt me, so they don't talk about me, so they don't bother me. That's selfish. It's about seeking the good of others. It's fulfilling the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think of what you would hope for if you were in that person's shoes. It's the empathetic approach. It's the way that we should treat the golden rule. I'm going to do unto other people as I would want them to do unto me. Think of what you would hope for if you were in their shoes, and then do that for them. That's the golden rule. God's excellence. So if I'm going to reflect God's excellence, His excellence is compassion, not selfishness. Jesus treated the outcast, the sinner, the weak, with love. If we live like Him, our lives become a proclamation, a reflection of His goodness. Are you intentional about doing good to others? It's a question we can ask ourselves. We can write it down. We can think about this daily. Am I intentional about doing good to other people? Do my actions reflect how I would want to be treated in their shoes? Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. We actually read this in our one-to-one class this past week and talked about it. And again, one of those things like, man, that's a part of next week's sermon. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Reflecting God in how we judge others. There is a danger in hypocrisy. Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't ever make moral judgments. Galatians chapter 6 tells us that we can. If we find a brother that is caught in sin, you who are spiritual, go help him out. What he condemns, though, is the hypocritical spirit. Seeing clearly the faults of others while ignoring our own. Every time Jason asked Ashley what she thought of when she read Scripture a minute ago, like, this is when I read Matthew 7, this is what I see. I see the guy that's walking around, myself, walking around with this huge log sticking out of my eye, but I'm so concerned about somebody else's moral standing or their little bit of sin that as I'm swinging my head back and forth, everybody's having to duck because the log's going to hit them in the face. But I'm so worried about that small little splinter. Well, isn't that us in the church a lot of times? That we're so concerned about correcting everyone else that we forget to correct ourselves first. And this is what Jesus warns us of. So this speck and log imagery reminds us that self-examination must come first. How foolish does the guy look with a tree trunk and a bird floating on it look when he's worried about a little speck or a splinter in somebody else's eye? Next time you read Matthew 7, 1 through 6, or next time you want to go and judge somebody for their actions, picture this. The log in our eye isn't just a metaphor. It's more of a warning. Sometimes our judgments are harsh because we haven't first humbled ourselves before God. James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will do what? He will lift you up. He will exalt you. But God's excellence is mercy. If I'm going to reflect God's excellence, I'm going to be merciful. God's judgment is righteous, patient, and aimed at restoration. Then Christians must approach others with a heart of restoration, not condemnation. If we are His people, we must judge in humility and love, not like this guy in pride. So how can I apply this? If I'm going to reflect God's excellence in how I judge people, before I ask someone else or speak out against someone, ask myself, have I examined my own life? Am I offering help like is required and asked in Galatians chapter 6? A righteous judgment? Or am I just criticizing to help myself feel better? Third thing, we can reflect God in rejecting partiality. I think this one's a big one in the church as well. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, and you sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to those who love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, James points us right back to the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So James says that favoritism is actually a sin against Christ. When we judge by appearances, we betray the heart of the gospel. James is clear here. He says when we treat people differently based off wealth, based off appearance, based off status, based off what they make and do for me, I'm not walking in step with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Peter tells us that God shows no favoritism. Partiality contradicts the very nature of our Savior, who ate with the poor, touched the leper, and called fishermen and tax collectors to be His disciples. So if I'm going to reflect God in the way that I reject partiality, I need to ask myself, are there people that we avoid because they make us uncomfortable? Do we give more attention to those who look the part? Our churches should reflect heaven, which is a gathering, a large gathering of people from different backgrounds, all kinds of people, all united through Jesus Christ. When I attended in Gulf Coast Bible Camp for Teen Week, as a camper and as a youth minister and a counselor, at the end of every night, we had we actually had worship together. Then we would go and like have canteen, have a snack and a drink. We'd have an activity that lasts 45 minutes or an hour, and they go right back before we go shower and go to bed, have a campfire devotional. It may be 100 degrees out at camp, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a fire. And that's fine. I mean, you're going to sweat regardless, but I guess you stand close enough to the fire, you singe the hair on your arms and the mosquitoes, so that's fine. But at the end of that 25-30 minute devotional and singing, we'd all stand up. We'd hold hands around the fire, whether it was with your youth group members, whether it was with a youth minister, whether it was a fellow counselor, staff member, something. And we'd sing this song, "You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand." That's the last thing that we do before we go to bed every night. And then after that, you shake hands and hug. I used to say, like, hug five people before you go. Just to let people know that we love them. Let people know, let Satan know that as Christians, we're standing united. I've asked Jason if he would come up this morning. Before we wrap up this lesson, I'd like everybody to stand. If you want to, you can hold hands, that's fine. I'm not going to stand here and hold hands with him because that would, my luck would be the thumbnail of today's lesson, and people would be like, what are they teaching at Azalea City? I'm also going to turn my microphone off. But if we could stand together and sing this song, I'd appreciate it. I know Mr. Steve led that song last week. But if we go back and just read it one more time, I went way back. I'm going to quit. I'm just going to stop, Justin. I'm going to stop. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together, we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, as long as there is the golden rule, as long as there is no judgment, as long as there is no partiality, we will stand. There is nothing that can separate us from the love that Jesus Christ has for us. The only thing that can separate us from God is ourselves. If I have my brothers and my sisters and I walk hand in hand and step for step without judging, but just loving and being merciful and being supportive and bearing one another's burdens and helping each other out, guys, you and I will always stand. So for us, living as people, to proclaim God's excellencies, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it is a proclamation through action. We proclaim God's excellence by how we treat others. Our love, our humility, our fairness all point the world to Jesus Christ. Am I that guy standing in the mirror reflecting just myself selfishly, or am I reflecting Christ through my actions? We're also called to live a life set apart, a royal priesthood. As a royal priesthood, we mediate God's love to a broken world. If we gossip, if we show favoritism, or judge harshly, we're proclaiming ourselves and not Christ. So you can ask yourselves this. Does the way I treat others today reflect the goodness of the God I serve? The way that I treat people today, is that a direct reflection of the goodness of the God that I serve? We're not just called to believe in Christ, but to be His ambassadors, to reflect His character in every relationship. Judge with humility, not hypocrisy. To love actively and not passively. To reject favoritism and embrace the marginalized. And to live in a way that proclaims God's goodness to the world. We should let our lives preach the gospel far before our mouth ever does. As what Jeff read to us, and I'm not going to read all 17 verses there, but basically what Paul's saying there to the church of Colossae, if then, Christians, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Well done, right? To put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God in whatever you do. In word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. I appreciate Jason leading that song, and I know it was new, but I could hear people catching on as we sang it through the second time. And you have to highlight this. This part of the chorus where it says, I'm waiting my whole life for that day. I will live my life to hear you say. We don't need to hope to hear God say, well done. We need to live our lives to hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place you belong. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place you belong. Ponder this. How valuable your soul must be for Satan to so tirelessly pursue it, and for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, to lay down His own life for it. Ponder how valuable somebody else's soul must be for Satan to tirelessly pursue it. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end, God in the flesh, to lay His own life down for theirs. Maybe you've been harsh or judgmental. Maybe you've shown favoritism and failed to love others well. But God's mercy is available. God's mercy is available to me because I've struggled with all three. God's mercy is available to you because you've likely struggled with all three. God's mercy is available to the next person that walks through those doors who may struggle with all three and may not even be a part of the body of Christ. If you're ready to reflect His excellencies in your own life, or if you need the prayers of the church, we're happy to assist you in any way as you are more than welcome to come forward as we stand and sing together.